Welcome to the Excel Pod.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. I'm your co-host, Tyler Wall. Today, we are continuing our series on practices or the spiritual disciplines. And today, we're talking about prayer. Here with Zachary Wall. Zachary, how would you frame this conversation of prayer, such an important, vital role in our lives as Christians? How would you kind of frame this conversation?
Prayer is something, it's a lot more common than the last thing we talked about with silence and solitude. But I think prayer is so common that sometimes that word is used in a way that's not, it doesn't really mean what scripture says it means. So we throw around the word, well, I'm praying for you, prayers, thoughts and prayers, all these things. But yet we use the word perhaps, and we say the word a lot more than we actually do the practice. So prayer is something, it's a vital part, as you said, of being a Christian. And it's so common, even people who we would say don't have a strong faith, or they would even probably say that they don't have a strong faith, when something bad happens, right, it's prayer. It's prayer that they turn to. And I think that's something that God created us with, is that desire that when something bad happens, we feel the need to pray. And I think that is a good thing. But for Christians, that shouldn't be the only time that we use this practice, is when something bad happens. And of course, we'll talk about some scriptures that that go along with that idea. But prayer is such a big deal for Christians. We talked about in our last episode how Jesus practiced silence and solitude. Well, Jesus practiced prayer. And we see that as an example over and over and over again. And I think if Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God in flesh, if he practiced prayer, then we need prayer for sure. If Jesus needed prayer, and you know, you can make the case, well, why did he need the prayer? Well, he felt that he needed to be aligned with God's will over and over again, and we should do the same thing. It's such an amazing example we have from Jesus in regard to prayer. So that's kind of where I'd start. Like, most people in the world pray. You pray to different gods or different things, or to pray for different reasons, but prayer is a pretty universal practice of Christians, different faiths, and even people who perhaps say they have no faith. In certain times, they still understand prayer, at least some aspect of it.
Yeah. And you know, obviously in our case, you know, praying to God, simply put, you know, in any relationship, like, communication is important. You know, when Lindsay and I aren't communicating, or when Taylor and you aren't communicating, there's going to be some friction there, or at the very least, there's going to be a little bit of disconnection. You're not really aligned. I like how you use that word, aligning together. That's important in marriage. It's important in any relationship. If you want a good relationship, God has communicated to us through his word. And of course, we need to be communicating to him daily. And I love it. And we may talk about this. I love that, you know, aligning with God's will, because I do think often when we pray, it is a lot of like, God, I'm going through this. Help me with this. I need this. And of course, like, someone said, you could narrow down everything Jesus teaches about prayer with one word, and that is ask. Like, asking is so important in prayer, of course. But I think also there's, and I guess this could come in the form of a question, there's this idea this thought of praying, thy will be done. Like, I want to get in on what you're doing. Like, what do you want? I want to align myself. I want to align my will, my heart, and my desires with the will of God. And so I think there's no one way of like defining everything that prayer is. But I think that that's a good place to start. And of course, we want to begin with what the Word of God says about prayer. So where do you kind of go or where are some places you go when it comes to prayer?
There's a few places, but I think the most common place is to turn to Matthew chapter 6, to the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus gives us what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And this is where perhaps for many people in the United States, this might be their first experience with prayer. Maybe it's before a sporting event. I know this is becoming a lot less common, but still in many locker rooms, the Lord's Prayer is said right before a game. I remember saying it over and over again before every basketball game. You said the Lord's Prayer. So Matthew chapter 6 is a great place to start. And he talks about this in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 5, he starts by saying, "And when you pray." So that's an important phrase from the get-go, because Jesus expects you to pray, not if you pray or that one time you pray, random times. He says, no, when you pray, he expects that we will be doing so, or he assumes that we will be doing so. And then he says, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not go on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. This then is how you should pray. And in Luke's gospel, before he says this, Luke has that the disciples actually ask Jesus, hey, Jesus, how are we supposed to pray? And then Jesus tells them, this is how. So this is Jesus's answer to how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hard to read that without doing the King James Version, you know, that we say before games. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But verse 11, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So that's a great place to start because there's some important truths in there, what Jesus is saying. And I think one of the things that Jesus is saying here, and he talks about this in regard to giving, fasting, and prayer in the same chapter, is that we have to make sure that our spiritual disciplines, that we're not practicing these things to be seen by others. And that's not the reason that we pray. It's not the reason we give. It's not the reason we fast. It's not the reason we do anything in regard to spiritual disciplines. We do it so that we could be closely aligned with God. And that's why we do it, not to be seen by others. But I think another thing we don't talk about often in regard to spiritual practices is that we don't do them in order to make ourselves feel good. And for me, that's a big struggle for me, because when I read scripture consistently, it does make me feel good. And it turns into a pride thing. Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Like I'm reading God's word, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is not to make you feel good. Now, it might do that. It might make you feel good, but that's not its purpose. Its purpose, again, is to draw you closer into a relationship with the Father. So Jesus, before he even tells you how you should pray, he gives us warnings. Hey, be careful to make sure that you are doing this in the right way. So if you turn, so I mentioned Matthew chapter 6. I want to show you one example real quick in Mark chapter 6. This actually was not on our notes for this episode, but I think this example real quick of Jesus is so important. So in Mark chapter 6, Jesus sends out the apostles, the 12, two by two into all the towns. They go and preach the good news. They say you should repent, and that Jesus has given them the ability to cast out demons and impure spirits. And he says, if they don't accept you, just shake the dust off your feet, go on ahead. He says the same thing in Luke chapter 10. So they're going on from place to place. Well, finally, after some period of time, not sure how long it was, but they return. And in verse 31, it says, in verse 30, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. So they've returned from this journey. Then, verse 31, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So it indicates they were tired. The apostles were tired from going out from town to town and preaching and casting out demons. But then we keep reading in verse 32. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, like we talked about in our last episode. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. I bring this story up because I think this is an important example that Jesus gives us. He doesn't say, sorry, guys, we're about to go practice our spiritual discipline, so y'all need to go away so we can do that. No, the people came to Jesus, and despite him having a purpose for going where they went to that solitary place, and that was to get some rest, to be rejuvenated, he doesn't send the crowd away. You drop down to verse 35, it says, by this time it was late in the day. So it's late. And then you go all the way down to verse 46, 45 and 46. So Jesus feeds that group. It was 5,000 people. And immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And then verse 46, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. So I think that's such a cool example, is that they're tired. Everyone's tired. The crowd comes to him. He doesn't send them away. But yet, despite him being tired, despite interruptions, despite sending on his disciples ahead of him, he knew that he needed to take that time to pray because it was a part of his rhythm. Like, it was a part of his daily practice to spend that time in prayer. And I think for me, often it's, well, man, I wish I wasn't so busy today because I really needed to pray. Well, Jesus fit it in because he understood how important it was.
It really goes back to what you said at the beginning, which is like, if Jesus, the Son of God, knew how important prayer was for his life, then, you know, what makes us think that we're any different? You know, like we hear that and we're like, yeah, like it's Jesus. And so obviously, yeah, the practice or the discipline of prayer, it's learning to set aside dedicated time to intentionally communicate and commune with God. Like, to say that it deepens our relationship with God, I mean, that's an understatement. You know, it's where we come to God with our hopes, with our dreams, confession, frustration, thanksgiving. It's with everything. Of course, a verse that's easy for us to memorize is 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which is pray without ceasing, meaning throughout the day, like we need times when we pray. And I think, you know, we're kind of saying, look, you know, the disciplines, the practices are extremely important. But it is good and right to spontaneously pray. You know, I've had people do this, you know, if you tell them about something and they just say, well, let's pray about it right now. Like, I'm not going to tell you that I'm praying. I'm going to do it right now. Like that is good. You know, I think that's more loving and more like Jesus than saying, I'll pray about that when I get home, when it's my set aside time to pray. You know, that it's good that we have that time, but also just saying, man, this just happened. It was unexpected. I'm going to pray about this. At the same time, though, I don't think we should limit it to just that. You know, someone might say, well, like, I don't need to set aside time for it. I'll just kind of do it throughout the day. It's kind of, to me, like random acts of kindness. Like, random acts of kindness are good until you've forgotten to do a random act of kindness for 5 days because it's random, right? And so there is definitely a little bit of a balance there between, yes, there needs to be that time of, like, this is when I pray, like every day after I eat lunch, or every day as I'm on my way to the gym, or right when I wake up, or whenever that is. But also, it's whenever I can, because God is always available. And I think that, you know, that kind of goes back to what we ended with in our last episode of, like, we get to be with God. We get to talk to God. Like, there is no closed sign when it comes to God in prayer. And obviously, Matthew chapter 6 is just such a good example of this. You know, Jesus, you mentioned about, you know, don't be like the Pharisees, don't be like the hypocrites. You know, the hypocrites in that time weren't necessarily, you know, people who said they were going to do something and then they didn't, or kind of maybe put up a front. They were like that to the 10th degree. They were like literally actors in that time. They were people who would wear a mask and like intentionally be someone who they weren't. Jesus is saying, don't treat your relationship to God in that way. He says, they've received their reward. And I always kind of wondered about that passage, like, well, what does that, is God reward? No, Jesus is saying their reward is exactly what they want, and that is to be seen by other people. And Jesus is saying, look, if you want that, you can go get it. Like, you can go, you know, flaunt your religiosity to everyone and tell the world how great you are. But he's saying, like, true deep relationship is verse 6, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He's saying, you know, those people, they want the reward of others seeing them, and they're going to get it because that's what they're striving for. But if you want your Father to reward you, then pray in secret. And of course, we see Jesus pray in front of others. It's important for us to pray in front of others and with others. But I think that it is important that we spend this time, as we talked about last week, away from others as well, and in relationship, to where it's not a show. We're not trying to show the world how good we are at prayer. We're just connecting and communing with God. I think Jesus, what he teaches there in Matthew 6 is that prayer is a lot more, actually it's way more relationship than it is performance.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And again, Matthew chapter 6, it's a great place to start. And you didn't even mention the Lord's Prayer there. And that's kind of, if you will, a template for things that you should pray for. It's not pray this exact prayer, although it's not a bad thing to do that, but it's kind of a template for what we should talk about. So that's two passages in the Gospels. If you turn to other passages, we mentioned one in the previous episode, but Philippians chapter 4, it says this starting in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So again, Paul, like you said in 1 Thessalonians 5, he talks about how important prayer is. And here he says, look, prayer, one of the things is going back to what Tyler said, you ask God to help you. You ask God to give you. You ask God to do these things within you. So that's Philippians chapter 4. And then one more passage I want to highlight real quick is James chapter 5. James chapter 5 talks a lot about prayer. It talks about Elijah and how he prayed that it would rain, and it did. But starting in verse 13, it says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call to the elders of the church to pray over them and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, their sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I like that verse 16. Of course, it's very well known. But confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So prayer is, on the one hand, it's between us and God, and it strengthens our relationship with Him, and we get to present our personal requests to God. But prayer also serves other people as well, which is a really cool aspect of prayer, that it's not just about us, but it benefits those whom we pray for as well.
Yeah, that's really good. We could probably come up with 1,000 reasons like why we pray. But if we could just maybe name a few reasons, you know, why do we pray? Why does Jesus say when you pray, not if you pray, if you will?
Yeah, like you said, we could highlight a ton. One thing is you pray to present your request to God. So James chapter 1, I love this passage. And it says, if any of you, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Or later on in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says to ask for those things, to seek after those things, to ask for those things. So one of the reasons we pray is that we present requests to God. Maybe that's for wisdom. Maybe that's for stress relief. Maybe that's for strength. Whatever it is, Philippians chapter 4 said the same thing. If you're anxious, then present your request to God through prayer. So that's one of the reasons that we pray. We pray to ask God for what we need. Another reason we pray, and it's talked about there in James chapter 5, we pray for forgiveness of sins. We pray and we ask God to forgive us of our sins. That's the spiritual healing that we need, and we get to ask God for that. We also pray to be in tune with the Father. And again, I think this one is particularly best displayed in the life of Jesus, especially in the last few days of his life. So you see the example in Matthew chapter 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane, where over and over he says, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. But then also on the cross, when he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, or into your hands I commit my spirit. Again, he's talking to God the whole time to be in tune with the Father. He's trying to align himself with God's will. But another reason we pray, and we don't talk about this that much, is we have a lot of examples of the early church doing that, of devoting themselves to prayer. In Acts chapter 1, if you look at verse 14, it says this. They all joined together. This is the 120 that are meeting there, and they're kind of, they're stuck. They don't know what to do. Jesus is gone. He said something about a spirit. We don't really know what that means. Judas has killed himself. What are we supposed to do? Verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So that group, despite not really knowing what to do or how they're going to live this life to post Jesus, they devoted themselves to prayer. In Acts chapter 2, of course, at the end of that chapter, in verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So we see it, the church, immediately after Jesus ascended back into heaven, they didn't know everything. There were a lot of things that were unknown, but they knew they should be praying, and that's what they did.
And just another example, Acts chapter 12, Peter's famous jailbreak story. It says that when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. You know, we had on New Year's Eve, we had a prayer night, and I got a couple questions about it. And the more I thought about it, like good questions, the more I thought about it, I was just kind of thinking like, you know, we have singing nights. Why don't we have prayer nights as much, you know? And it is so important that we gather together and pray. And we see this in the early church. And so, as you're saying, why not follow that example?
It's difficult to pray. We see scripture. We see all of these examples. Prayer is the most powerful weapon we have. It's the most powerful thing we could do as a body of believers. And yet sometimes we're like, great, we complain when we hear a prayer that's too long, or we complain when that one individual gets up to lead a prayer because we could quote their prayer that they say over and over and over again. Well, okay, but are we really actively engaging in that prayer? Are we actively trying to grow in our relationship with the Father, or do we have the wrong attitude in regard to that?
This is like a whole other conversation, but I think could be maybe one of our hesitations when it comes to prayer is the fact that like we... I'm not saying we would say this, but sometimes we believe or act in a way that we think God has somehow become uninvolved in our lives, or that he's kind of retired, if you will. And we need to realize that that's not the case. Obviously, he works through us, through his Spirit. He's still working today. Like we sing, like there is a God, he is alive, or blue skies and rainbows, like alive and well today. And so we need to realize that like when we pray, like something is happening, like something is actually going on. And I think that's why it's important. And I know we're getting a little off, but I think that's why it's so important to keep track. And I wish I was better at this. Keep track of answered prayers, like keep track of the things that you have prayed for and it came to be. And like for no other reason other than the fact that God heard your prayer and God answered it. And of course, you know, other reasons why. I think you mentioned all of them. I put in my notes, of course, it grows us closer to one another. It's extremely good for the life of the church. James 5 and verse 16. It's how one of the ways we come near to God. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When we feel distance from God, like God didn't move. He stayed in the same place. It, unfortunately, every time it's us. Like I always did the moving. I did the, you know, I woke up and instead of, you know, spending time in prayer and scripture, I woke up and I turned sports radio on first thing in the morning. And so I made those decisions to draw away from God. But the flip side is true as well. I make those decisions to draw near to God. And so that's one of the reasons why we pray. Just as we close, how can we practice this? Because I think, you know, there's so many ways, but how can we implement this actually into our daily lives?
I heard this from a preacher, and I want to use his words. And he said, in regard to your prayer life, you need to have rhythm and you need to have random. So the rhythm is the times throughout the day that are constant, the prayers before the meals, or you look to other faiths. Muslims pray 5 times a day. They had that routine, right? There's 2 billion of them on the planet. That's what they do. Most of those 2 billion people do that at the same times. Jews today pray 3 times a day. Like, they had those set times. Christians, I think Christianity is unique in that they had the freedom and they don't have, they're not bound to those times of prayer. But I do think there should be certain times where you do pray. And for the Israelites, you know, they said a prayer of sorts. They said the Shema first thing, last thing, when they left the house, when they were along the road, it was kind of constant. And for Christians, I think the same thing for us. We should pray when we wake up, when we go to bed, when we eat meals. All throughout the day, we should look for times to incorporate a rhythm into our prayer life. But then the random aspect of it, it's when you see someone in need, you stop and you pray with them. You don't say, oh, in my evening prayer tonight, I'm going to remember you, and because we won't. You pray for them then. Or if something comes up in your day where you just need the prayer for yourself, you pray right then. And Jesus, I think Jesus was the great example of this. Again, he spent time in the mornings or in the evenings where he would go alone and he would pray. But then there was the random times where he didn't expect to pray, but he prayed because someone had a need or he had something that he needed to thank God for, as was the case before he fed 5,000 and 4,000 people as well. So to incorporate this into my life, I love those structured times. I like having a structure. That's who I am. I like details. I like everything to be in order. So to have a time, I'm going to pray at this time, and I'm going to pray at this time, that works well for me. I struggle more with incorporating those random moments in the day, and I need to be better about when I think of something, you know, I should pray about that, stopping then and praying about it, because if I don't, then I'm not going to remember doing it right then.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly don't have anything else to add. I love that rhythm and random because, yeah, I'm the same way. And it's easier for me to just set my alarm and like, okay, after I'm done reading scripture, like I'm going to pray, and that's just, you know, how it's going to be. But, you know, just throughout the day, yeah, it's harder for me as well to like think, okay, I need to pray. You know, it's been a while. And so I need to, I think just practically, I know we talked about this, last week with silence and solitude, but, removing distractions, I think is so important. We got to put our phone up, whether that's, I mean, like for me, even if it's in my pocket, like even if I feel it, like another room, preferably just for me, maybe different, but turn off the TV, you know, no podcasts. And then here's kind of what I think for a lot of people. I mean, how many times have you been told, I just get so distracted when I pray, like my mind. And like what I found helpful is just, okay, like you're human, like humans get distracted. Humans, mind goes in all these different directions. And sometimes that's going to happen while we pray. But think of it like, okay, I got distracted 10 times. Think of it as 10 more opportunities to come back into prayer and to say, okay, God, I'm back. All right. I think just don't give up, you know, be persistent, continue in it. Don't say, well, I got distracted. I guess I'll turn on music now. No, just try to keep coming back. And it's just like the silence and solitude. I don't think it has to be a set amount of time. You mentioned, you know, that that's the beauty of our faith, is that, you know, there is that kind of freedom to say, like, God, like, I've got this amount of time. I've got these few things to say, or maybe I do have like a longer list of things that I want to talk to you about. There is a lot of nuance, but yeah, I'd say just keep coming back, like keep going back to God in prayer.
Yeah. An example of that really is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus says, watch and pray. And what happens? They fall asleep.
So asleep.
They were distracted, yes. Right? But he just keeps telling them to keep doing it, essentially, to keep going at it. I think that's so important, is when you feel as if your prayer life has hit rock bottom, keep after it. If you feel like you're in a rut, keep after it. Just keep praying to God and trying to constantly align yourself with Him.
Well, Zachary, as always, great conversation. I will see you next week to talk about reading Scripture. I'm excited
about that one, too.